some additional things. I won't go into it tonight just because I want our Wednesday nights to be maximized. And so I've got something in my mind. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. But just be praying with me about it, that God will give great clarity to us. Right?
Amen.
And so if you don't have a student guide, then I don't have one for you either. But Brother Delvin is going to come tonight, and his heart's prepared. He's going to share that. He's going to press the olive tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. And he'll give you the scriptures, I'm sure, and then they'll probably be on the screen as well. So come on, Brother Delvin. What a blessing Delvin and Donna are to our church family. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. I was thinking the last few weeks I've noticed that he had about 8 pages of notes, and I've got 4. No, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. He has been doing a great job of pressing the third time of the olive, of the grape, or whatever you've been pressing, olive. Is really opening our eyes to what we're teaching and learning in Sunday school. And this past week was our Christian calling and our vocation. The good news is God has called us all. So before we go any farther, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Help us to be open to your word. Your spirit is flowing. Through praise and worship, illuminate our minds and our hearts so we can hear from you. And we pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. In our lesson, the very first scripture we had, and I'm going to wait till the very last, 1 Timothy 2:1-7, that's going to be the last point. So when I get there, you know I'm getting near the end. So just wait and see. The first thing I see on that little lesson, it says, there's 4 points. Guard your calling and your vocation. We're going to see that Paul's admonition is relevant today. It's valid, not just to what Timothy heard, but it's valid to us today. God has called every single person here. And that's what's mind-boggling. To realize that the God of the creation has called me, he's called you, and you have a purpose. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit this evening. In 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. How many know that you probably have a praying grandma somewhere in your past? It may be a great-great grandma that prayed for you. And you say, well, I can't hear that. God can. And I believe God is answering those prayers of a praying grandma or grandpa some years ago. So if you're praying for a need, whether it's unsaved loved ones, your kids, or whatever, don't stop praying. Prayer is so important. So we're going to see tonight about how important it is. And everybody here, you said, well, Timothy had a grandmother that was righteous, a mother. You say, I ain't got no parents that were righteous at all. Well, you've got a godly heritage, because one thing is you're here at church. And this church here has got a great pastor that's teaching us God's word. He paid me for that little statement there. But we have a pastor that is teaching God's word. And so we can come to God's house. The church is feeding us, whether it's in Sunday school or church, through praise and worship. So we have a heritage. The Holy Spirit also reveals his word to us. As we are teaching ourselves, we're reading his word, the Holy Spirit comes across and he teaches us. So we have no excuse. In America, did you know there's 4 Bibles in every home in America? That's the average. And 9 out of 10 households report at least having 1 Bible. They're everywhere. People in America who end up in hell has to literally go past a church, go past a teaching somewhere on the radio, internet, or whatever. It's going to be hard to go to hell if you live in America. God's message is everywhere. There are places in the world that we need to pray for. And one example is Uganda, when we have missionaries going there. But God's Spirit is moving all over the world. And so we can participate in that. Number two is exercise your spiritual gifts. Everybody loves exercise, don't they? You can tell that I am building up my, never mind. But exercising our spiritual gifts. In 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. God can use every single person. And we exercise what he gives us. I'm reminded of some people are not believing they are used by God. And so they're in a dark tomb. I call that the Lazarus predicament that he has. Many people are in a tomb like Lazarus. When I first went to California, I was down, very down. And what really helped out is people coming to me and giving me a handshake or a hug, a church we went to in Ventura County. And one thing we don't understand is we can be that person to help out that other person. A lot of people, we don't realize that they are walking in a tomb. It's dark. It's so dark, they can't see the door. There's no windows. I have been in the Mammoth Cave, 15 stories down. They turn the lights off, and you cannot see your fingers before your eyes. That's the darkness they're in. They can't see the door to open it. They feel all alone. But the good news is, guess who's outside the door? Jesus is. And we can play the part of removing that stone so light can come in. We can do that by a handshake, a hug, a greeting. We may not can preach or teach, but we can play a part in removing that stone so light can come in. And when it does, somebody's on the outside. His name is Jesus. And that's what the world is looking for. They're surrounded in darkness, but they need to see the light. And Jesus said, I am the light. And we need to present that to the world. In 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift that God is it's in you, the laying on of hands. I think of that word, I look at the word the stir. You have a campfire, and it's going out. Because all the ashes are covering the fire. So you get a stick, and you move those ashes. You stir up that fire, and it comes alive again. We have ashes of doubt, ashes of unbelief, disappointments. It's covering our flame. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to remove those ashes. We can't do it by ourselves. The power of the Holy Spirit will remove those ashes. So stir up that gift. So it'll burn brightly. Allow the Holy Spirit to shine through us. He said, be faithful and fight with a sure hope. He said, fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6:12. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession of the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives you life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only Pontius, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unappropriate light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So we need to learn a binding and loosing principle. We have that power. We can bind Satan. And we can loose the Holy Spirit. God has given us the authority to do that. We have a great couple, Blake and the family, going to Uganda. We can pray the binding of Satan and loosing of God's Holy Spirit. And not just in Uganda, but we can do it right here in Heber Springs. We need, because Satan hates the believer in Jesus. And we must understand we're at war. He said, fight by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So we need to embrace and grab hold of the teachings that we have received and learn through God's word. It's up to us to grab it. If you don't grab it, it's your own fault. It's here. It's being presented. These principles that Paul shared to Timothy, not only is they valid, but I believe they're valued in our life today. And I see those 4 points. And that we have a different, the idea, every person here has a different secular job. We all have different jobs to do. But I believe that God uses the vocation we have as a vehicle. He places us where he wants to use us. No matter what that job is, God places us. That's a vehicle he uses to place us where he can use us to share the gospel. We all have the same spiritual purpose, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And sometimes we can even use words. Most of the time we use our life. People are watching us. So guard your calling on vocation. Exercise your spiritual gifts. Be faithful and fight with a sure hope. Fight by the power of the Holy Spirit. I told you I was going to go back to that verse, very first scripture in the lesson. In 1 Timothy 2:1-7, Paul says these words, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Those 4 words are very important. Supplications, the urgent request to meet a need. Prayers is a petition addressed directed to God. Intercessions, a request made on behalf of others. Giving of thanks is an expression of praise and gratitude toward God. So how do these principles work out in our day-to-day life? I will offer just a few examples to show in all 4 of these words and how they play out in a life, how we can use them too, how God can use us. Now, you're familiar, and I won't show it on the screen, but Genesis 18 is a story of how Abraham interceded for a city called Sodom. And God told Abraham one day, "I'm going to destroy Sodom." Abraham said, "Well, if I could find 50 people, would you spare the city?" And God said, "Yes." And Abraham took it on himself. He said, "Okay, how about if you could 45? "Yeah, I'll do that too." He finally got down 10 people. And Abraham said, "Oh, sure, I can find 10 people in this city." And God said, "Okay, I'll spare it if you can find 10 people." He knew he had some kids there. So surely I can find 10 people. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn from this one little incident. But one stands out. Abraham interceded for a city. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time I prayed for Heber Springs? Interceded for our own city. Since Abraham could not find 10 in this city, it was destroyed. And after Lot's wife turned to salt, they just left 3. Lot and his 2 daughters. Now, what happened there, your pastor can preach a sermon later on about that particular problem. But then I look at the prayer in Acts 12:5-10. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. He was in prison. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. He was sleeping. He was bound by 2 chains between 2 soldiers, and there was guards at the door. And he was sleeping. He knew he was in the center of God's will. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and said, "Hey, get up, Peter. Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said, put yourself, your garment on and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard gates, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on his own accord. And they went out and went down one street. And immediately the angel departed from him. This whole time he thought he was having a dream. Peter was rescued because constant prayer was given by the church. You say, I can't do much. You can pray. And when you pray, you have the ear of God. It's amazing what things will happen if people will pray. I've been praying for a need for over 10 years. It doesn't matter how long. God will answer. You say, I've been in that tomb for 10 years. But guess what? I believe that God's going to send a whole squadron of angels to rescue you. Because he don't want you to be standing in that tomb all the time. Prayer rescues you. And God is in the rescuing business. The Philippian jail was saved. Great story in Acts 16, 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to him. You know, they were not singing songs like, I searched the whole world over and thought I found true love. But you met another and you were gone. Hey, they were not singing songs like that. They were singing praise and worship. Imagine my imagination. I can see Peter and Silas in socks and bonds sitting there talking to each other and singing out loud. So loud the other prisoners and the guards could also hear them. Something like this maybe. Hey, Brother Silas, Paul said, I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not yet where I'm going to be. But right now, I'm where God wants me to be. And so I will praise the Lord. And with that, they start praising the Lord again. Brother Silas, do you remember? I told you as a student, I was carefully trained in the customs and the laws of Jewish faith. I became very zealous and honored to God. Everything I did, I thought. And I persecuted the followers of the way. Those people that follow Jesus. I hounded them to death. I arrested both men and women and put them in jail. And the high priest gave me the permission to do that. They authorized me to do that, to follow the people the way. And in chains, I punished them. And I was on the road one day approaching Damascus. And about noon, a very bright light shone before me. And our voice came forth and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me, Paul? I said, who are you, Lord? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, the one that you are persecuting. The people saw the great light, but they didn't hear a word. They thought it was thunder. And the voice said, get up and go into Damascus. And there you'll be told what to do when you get there. I was blinded by that light. I was led by the hand by my fellow comrades. When I got to Damascus, a man named Ananias was there. And he came up to me and stood beside me and said, Brother Paul, regain your sight. In that very moment, I could see. Brother Silas, you remember I told you that. He told me something else. He said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear him speak. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. And then he said, Brother Paul, what are you waiting for? Get up and get baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Silas, from that day forward, I have not been the same person as I was before. I'm a changed man. And those words, they both sang out more praise songs. And the prisoners heard them. And the guards heard them. And then continuing in verse 26, and suddenly, after they praised the Lord, a great earthquake happened. So the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison door open, supposing that all the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not yourself any harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to get saved?" He heard Paul and Silas not complaining. They heard Paul and Silas praising the Lord. And so he said, "Believe in Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke a word of the Lord to him and all that were with the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and he washed their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and they rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Great miracle. The last point, are you ready? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, one of my favorite chapters in all the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat was facing opposition from the enemy. Thousands of opposition was coming toward him. The Moabites and the Amorites, they were descendants from the sexual relationship between Lot and his two daughters. Your pastor will talk about that later on. But with supplications now, King Jehoshaphat prayed an urgent request. I have outlined that chapter and I called it Distressed But Not Defeated. 2 Chronicles, there's a few verses, follow along, there's 9 words. I've outlined this in verse 1, the problem. It came to pass after this also, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides that, they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It does not mean that you have sin in your life because you got a problem. Problems is very common. But God will help us overcome those. You've heard the song, "Through It All." If I didn't have any problems, how would I know that he would solve them? So having problems is not the problem. Having a problem does not mean there's sin in your life. Having problems directs you to the problem solver. So verse 1 talks about the problem. Verse 3 is the prayer. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all of Judah. Prayer must be common and often. Direct communication. You don't have to be on your knees. You can be driving down the road. Just don't close your eyes. You can drive. You can be walking. You can be communicating with the Lord everywhere you are. But prayer is so very important. That's the first thing he did. In verse 5, the place. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. He knew where to go. We have a place here that we can go to, God's house. That's a good start. But remember that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And everywhere we go, we are his presence. So we can talk to him, we can pray, we can go and communicate with him anytime we want to. He wants to talk to us. So a place is very important. I'm glad we have a place like this. That we can come and fellowship. This is probably one of the best churches we've ever been to. And we've been to a bunch. The fellowship here is outstanding. And so you give me a pat on the back. But all the glory goes to God. I mean, you have accepted us. Well, you accepted my wife anyway. So we felt honored to be part of that. In verse 15, there's a promise. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. What a great promise. Yes, Lord. I believe we can claim that promise in our life. Amen. You can claim that promise. So if you feel overwhelmed, guess what? The battle's not yours. It's God's. So let's just put that problem in His hands. His hand's big enough to handle it. So that's the promise. But number 17, the position. Three words here to stand out. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against thee, for the Lord will be with you. See, a set. Set your heart. Know what you believe. Set your heart into know His word. That's your job, and that's all you got to do. Stand on God's word. There's a song that the Booth brothers sing. Ever heard it? It's called Stand. We stand on what is timeless. We stand on what is true. We stand up unashamed, no matter what the world may do. We stand upon this rock, spoken by the Lord of all. And though other lies built on sand may fall, we stand. That's what God wants us to do. Just stand. But He doesn't stay there. He said, as you stand, you see the mighty hand of God. The miracle takes place. So set, stand, and see is our position as a believer. In verse 20, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Jerusalem, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers to the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of His holiness. As they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushes. As they did. Jehoshaphat, if I was there, I would say, God, I've got a great cavalry. Man, I've got the infantry men. Great. They can go out there and they can slaughter the enemy. But you want the praise and worship team first? I believe a lot of times we try to do things on our own too much. Start out with praise and worship. And when we praise and worship, guess what happens? His praises inhabits. As our praises goes up, His presence comes down. Not just in church, but everywhere we go. His praises beats the enemy every time. In verse 25, provisions. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches among those dead bodies, precious jewels. And when they stripped off themselves more than they could carry away, and it took 3 days to carry the spoils back to their home. God provides provisions for us when we obey Him. As we're giving the Lord, He gives back. I don't understand it, but it happens. All He asks for is the first 10% and offerings, and He always blesses. He always does that. So His provisions are beyond measure. So as you are obedient and given to Him, He gives back to you. Not just in money, but in all kinds of blessings. We're so thankful that we had three girls in the ministry. All three of the ministry. Nothing I did. But as you give to the Lord, He blesses you. And that's the bottom line. See, we can take back what the enemy took. And that's the provisions that God has promised us. And in verse 29 and 30, the peace. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of these countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Jerusalem. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of a person. His name is Jesus Christ. We have peace when the Prince of Peace resides right here. And someday soon this whole world is going to experience it when the King of Kings comes back and rules for 1,000 years. But right now we can have the peace that passes all understanding. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 24 it says this, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. He not only gives peace, but he is a God of peace. So we're serving the God of peace. We can have peace in the midst of turmoil. And may your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. It's a good place to say amen. But until then, we'll fight the good fight. It's been said that Christians are not on a cruise ship. We're on a battleship. And an enemy has declared war on us. The good news, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. I'll close with this. There's a prize fighter that came home bloodied, beaten, bruised up from fighting all day long, but he won the championship. He won all those fights. He walked to the door and he gave his wife $10,000 for what he went through. He was a conqueror, but she was more than a conqueror. He received the beating, but she got the blessing. Jesus got the beating, but we get the blessing. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I've asked Brother Shane if he'll come. Is Shane here? I want us all just to stand and just give a praise song. You're going to sing a song for us? Any song you want to sing. I asked one song. I thank God, but we don't have all of our singers. Oh, you're getting it anyway. Let's all stand and let's sing this chorus along, because we're here to praise the Lord. And what better way to end the service is praising the Lord. Hug somebody. Thank you very much.